Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with coach and competitor Renee Schneider. Renee shares with us why it's so important to educate yourself when it comes to your nutrition and training, how to stay hungry for goals, and her experience with HRT. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now, on to my conversation with Renee. Renee Schneider, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to talk to you today.
I am super excited to speak with you as well, especially since we have met in person a couple of times at the Fat Muscle Project meetups. And I know you have so much to share, so much to teach. We're going to talk about all things nutrition, competing, HRT, and just in general, your coaching. Before we get into it, though, I would love to hear from you. What's the number one thing you are excited for the listener to learn today?
I think the number one thing I want people to grasp today is to be educated yourself and learn as much as you possibly can so that you can be your own advocate for what your goals are.
That's awesome because in the end, coaching shouldn't be like a crutch where you just rely on your coach. You should definitely have the goal of also wanting to like, how do I navigate that at some stage on my own, or when my coach isn't available or whatever. So no, that's a really, really great goal to have for us to talk about today. And yeah, I would love to start off with just hearing how you actually got into coaching and competing for that matter.
Well, I started out, I had a coach, just I was a lifestyle client, and I wanted to learn how to eat better. I was working out in the gym. I was going to some group fitness classes. I loved it. I was just had a blast, met so many new friends who had, who were very like-minded to who, who I was as well. And I was just working out really hard and I just was enjoying the process there. But I hired a coach because, just as a lifestyle client, because I said, I feel like maybe if my nutrition was a little bit better, I might be able to see better results in the gym. So I got, my nutrition under control. I was still working hard. I was seeing great progress. And then in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what the hell am I doing this for? Just to look good at the beach? I kind of needed like, what's the next step? Like what is a different reason for me to get up in the morning and go and like, even though I really enjoyed it. And so a friend of mine actually, she's like, Renee, you should compete. And I'm like, what? No. I am not going to put a thong on in front of, 100 people in the audience. Absolutely not. But then the thought never really left my mind. And I actually just kept thinking about it. My full-time job is I own an ad agency. And so I was doing some really great social media work for a natural federation here in the United States. And I was having a great time and really learning a lot about, people's stories and, their stories and journeys from, lifestyle to on the stage. And I got really inspired to do that. And that friend in the back of my mind just saying, you should compete. I'm like, well, maybe I should. Everybody else is in a thong. It's gonna be fine. Like that was like my biggest thing. And so I said to my coach at the time, I said, should we compete? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. So I decided to flip the switch. We went from lifestyle client to a couple of months of the pre-prep before the prep. And then we went into prep, did my first season. In the natural circuit. And so that's how I got started in competing. Just a little friend, just was like this little birdie in my ear. And yeah, she changed my life.
That's amazing. So, how many competitions have you done since?
I've done a total of seven in two different
Wow.
competitive years. The first year I competed, I did three shows, did really well, had a blast, learned that the stage, it always has been my second home because I grew up singing, acting, dancing. That was like my identity when I was a child. I grew up performing, singing national anthem at, sporting games. And, I just, had this a beautiful voice and I performed in musical theater major, was my major in college for a while. And the stage has always been my home, but I realized I can marry my passions of health and fitness with the stage, and that artistry can come out in on your stage and your performance as well. So I found that first season in competing, like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, this is where I belong, is on the stage and here in the bodybuilding world. And so did three shows there, took a really long off season, which I think is super important for most people. So they come back looking even better. Took a 3 year off season. And then just about a year ago, I competed for my second time or my second competitive season. I did four shows last year. I did two regional shows, qualified for nationals, did two national shows, also did quite well my first season in the MPC. And I got second place three times in two different national shows. So close to my pro card, but I'll get it next time.
So cool. I love so many things about this. So first of all, that you really said that it was something you just felt aligned with your identity. And I mean, we speak about this quite a lot here on this podcast in general, that in order to achieve something, in order to like truly love what you're doing, love the process, it needs to become or be part of your identity. And the other thing that really stands out to me is just your growth mindset or your openness to new things. And I'd love to kind of dig a little bit into that in the sense of, do you have any tips for people that say they're not really happy with where they're at and they want to evolve, but they don't really know what direction to take, or they feel held back by their families or so? How do you approach growth mindset with your clients?
Yes. Okay. So I know you've experienced this in your life too. And this is what I tell my clients. If they don't really know what their why is, maybe they want to love running. They want to be a marathon runner. Okay. Because they think in some way, shape, or form that that is what is going to make them happy. Think back to something in your life where you have this little, like, if you think about it, you get super nervous. Okay. Like that little butterfly in your stomach where you're like, oh my gosh, that excites me. It scares the living crap out of me. Like, whatever it might be, that, like, harness that. I still, even after all these years of working out and training and every day, every morning, actually every night before, I never stop thinking about bodybuilding. Let's be real. Every night when I go to bed, I am excited to wake up in the morning so I can go train. I still have that little butterfly in my stomach to think about when I get to get up in the morning, I get to do this. I get to get up in the morning and I get to eat my pre-workout meal, take my pre-workout, which who doesn't love taking pre-workout? And I get to go learn something about myself every single time I go to the gym, pushing myself harder. What can I learn about, how can I improve that day? How can I get and form a better mind muscle connection with the muscle group I'm trying to work that day? How can I be better than I was the day before at those particular lifts? How can I connect with someone else at the gym? And hopefully maybe they can feel that too. So like I get really excited about and still get that nervous energy when I think about the next time I step on stage, whenever that is. My advice to someone is if you don't really get that little butterfly in your stomach or that tinge of excitement, like find something else that gives you that excitement. I don't care what your family says. I don't care what your friends say. Like you're living your own life. You're not living theirs. So do what makes you happy. And if that means like you get to feed that little fire, that whatever that thought is for you, like do it.
I love that. I think that's a really great advice, especially also the just letting go of what other people might think. In the end, we always think that the spotlight is on us and everyone watches what we do and so on. And yes, of course, your family cares a little bit, but in the end, like everyone is so self-absorbed if we're being completely honest. So you might as well do what you love doing. The one thing I will add to that is because sometimes people say like, oh, all I like to do is like watch Netflix or scroll through my social media or so. It should be the thing that lights you up is something or should be something where you're creating or producing something and not where you're consuming something. Unless the consuming is like, I want to study and learn as much about this and that as possible, that's a different thing because you're still sort of creating something. But if you're currently just thinking like, oh, I like consuming this, I like eating, I like, like all these dopamine hitty things, that's not what we're talking about. Think about all the things where you have created something or where you have made other people happy through something, even if it's just your presence. Yeah, I think that's really important for people to explore. And the other thing I wanted to get into, because you said you took a 3-year improvement season or off season, and for many people that might seem like a long time. And I'm curious, was that difficult for you at first mentally, like in the sense of obviously you gained weight during that time, which is not just kind of necessary. It's just so important, but I could imagine that mentally, once you've been that lean, you're like, oh, I don't really like, it's hard to let go of that. So walk us a little bit through your mindset throughout that time. And if someone who's listening to this has issues with going into a surplus or even just being at maintenance, how can they get to the point of accepting that?
It is really hard to see in your mind all the hard work go away. The hard work is still there. You just are covering it up with a little bit of necessary body fat, which you hit the nail on the head there, Lisa. Like, you have to gain body fat back. Bodybuilding is not a healthy sport if you think about it in that way. Like, when you're stage lean, your hormones are jacked, like you don't feel good. All of your hormones are just cross-wired and all of that stuff. And so you have to gain body fat back. I had to get into a mindset after that first competitive season, because I didn't know what that reverse was like. Bodybuilding is not a dieting sport, right? It is not a dieting competition. It's a bodybuilding competition. It's a muscle pageant, right? A beauty pageant with muscles, which I love. So, in order to gain muscle and to make an improvement on yourself, because it's a you versus you sport, you can't control who shows up that day, because there's always going to be somebody with better genetics and bigger muscles and all of that. But you have to compete against yourself. And how are you going to do that? You have to build more muscle. The fat's going to come off the next time you prep. So if you have a really good coach, which I definitely recommend after coming out of a competition prep season, you have to do your reverse properly. And that way you don't gain unnecessary fat, and put your body at more risk because you're adding body fat that you don't need to do. So I would say get yourself a really good coach, someone who's been there before, who understands that mental capacity of, what you need to think about in order to be successful. And you have to realize this is a muscle building sport. This is a body building. And so you have to build your muscles. And that takes time. Whether you're on hormone replacement therapy, whether you're on other types of things in your medicine cabinet, or whether you're a natural bodybuilder, it takes time to build muscle, and it takes the proper stimulus, the proper training protocol. And so you have to be patient. And I took a 3-year off season because that's what I needed. After 2 years, I was ready to go. I was like, this is great. I put on a lot of muscle. I feel like I look so much better than I did before. And I was like, coach, let's go. I want to prep. And he said, give me 1 more year. And I'm like, what? Like, come on. 1 more year. And that stung a little bit, honestly. For a couple of months, I was pretty bummed. And, I used that though as fire to fuel, all right, he says I need to work harder. Let's go. Let's, train. What am I leaving on the table that I could have been the last 2 years? And so that last year, I just, kept checking all the boxes, eating all my food, making sure I gained the weight that I was supposed to, because it's not all fat. Hopefully it's muscle too. And the scale doesn't know the difference. So, taking the years off to make sure that you come back better than what you did, I mean, it's really important, but also teaches you a lot about instant gratification.
I bet, yeah. But I mean, it's so great that you followed the instructions of your coach because, in the end, I mean, you could have potentially competed that year and then not been able to qualify for nationals and then would take another 2 years or so to bounce back from those shows. And so it would have just delayed the process, actually. Now, I know that you also coach quite a few lifestyle clients or Gen Pop clients. And so even there, amongst my Gen Pop clients, people that are not necessarily as concerned with building muscle or even keeping muscle, I find it hard to get them to buy into eating more or the benefits of not always dieting and so on. Do you experience the same with your clients? And if so, how do you tackle it there?
Yes, every day, every single day. Most of my clients actually come to me because they want to lose weight. Well, after some, learning about their past habits, learning about what they're currently eating, we don't start out in a dieting phase. We start out in a let's feed you up, get your metabolism working again so that we actually can diet. I also try to tell my clients, all right, if you've never really done a good, training protocol with resistance training and you've only really done cardio, you probably don't have the muscle underneath the body fat that you see, even though someone might be quite lean for, standard American leanness. They might, once we diet down, you're not going to have the shape that you want in your mind that you picture because you don't have the muscle underneath that gives us that toned shape. So I really try to educate my clients on, even though I say don't compare yourself to other people, for one time only, I say send me some inspiration pics. What type of aesthetic do you really like? Because I'm going to help build their training protocol so that they, maybe they really like big shoulders or they want a big butt, So we like, if that's what you like, we'll train that way. But, obviously genetics plays a role in that. But if you don't build the muscle, once you diet down, you're just going to be a string bean. You're not going to have the shape that most people want or think they're going to get when they say, oh, I'm lean. So, I think that helps a lot. And sometimes I have some clients who have been with me 4, 5, 6 months and they're like, can we diet yet? I'm like, almost. We're almost there, So,
That's so great that you're getting that buy-in, and I'm sure it happens all through education and being like, hey, what you've done in the past, which was probably just cutting down calories more and more and adding more cardio or so, hasn't been
yep.
working. Otherwise, you would not have contacted me. So please just give me a few months. What's a few months out of the whole picture of your life, and trust the process, and then we'll go into a cut, and it will actually work. And you mentioned like restoring metabolic and hormonal health with that, and you mentioned hormonal health also with your own off season. So I'm curious, Renee, if I may ask, your age and sharing with us something that you've learned about your hormones, because I know that you've also started HRT not too long ago. So I'm curious how that came about and how you've been feeling since.
Yeah. Well, I have to do the math on how old I am. I always forget, actually. So I'll be 44 soon. And so I started bodybuilding, probably like I was like maybe 38, something like that. So I mean, honestly, not that long. And I'm at the age now where, perimenopause is starting to kick in. I started hormone replacement therapy several years ago. I just went to an online or not an online clinic, rather. I went to a clinic here in town, and just inquired about like, I think I have some of these symptoms. Like, I don't know what the next step is. And so they ran some blood work and they went over the blood work with me and convinced me at the time that I needed HRT. And I have kind of an interesting story, which I'd love to share here.
Please.
And not many people actually in my life know this story. And so I really feel, and even people like super close to me. So, kind of an interesting story. And going back to, what I want people to really learn about this particular podcast is to educate yourself before you make any big life decisions, excuse me, educate yourself and become an advocate for what you really want in your life. And so, going down the road of, reaching out to a hormone clinic, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I was contacting the experts in the industry, somebody who, you see this all the time, you treat thousands of patients with hormone replacement. What I learned in my experience was, get a second opinion. I had my blood work done. They analyzed the blood work for me and told me, based on my results, oh my gosh, your testosterone is really low and you're a great candidate for hormone replacement therapy and testosterone replacement therapy. It's going to check all the boxes, going to get you feeling better and optimal and those kind of things. And I believed them. And it's true. Yes, I absolutely, could have used it. But look now, knowing what I know now, and knowing the hundreds of labs that I've reviewed for my clients and all of the education that I have now, I technically wasn't low in testosterone. Honestly, as a natural female who had just competed in a natural bodybuilding circuit, I didn't really need it at all. However, I felt like because they had a vested interest in me going on HRT because I was gonna, subscribed into their monthly program. I believe that they overestimated or didn't really tell me the full entire story of my labs. And so I trusted them. I trusted the doctors as most people do. You trust the doctors because they're doctors, and we have been known and told our entire lives to trust the doctors and what they're telling you to do. So I started testosterone replacement therapy, and honestly, I felt great. Yes, the symptoms that I was having did go away. Absolutely. But what they never once told me was the side effects that I needed to watch out for. And I wasn't a coach at that time. I was just a lifestyle. Like, I didn't know what I didn't know. And so I didn't even ask about what side effects, because I trusted the doctors that they were doing what was right for me. And so I started mentioning, like, I'm thinking that there's a couple of things that, side effects that I'm having that maybe I shouldn't. Like, my voice changed immediately. And they're like, oh, no, you're fine. It's not that. You're not getting that much of it. Your dose isn't that high. Come to find out, like, now that I know exactly what I know now and all the education I've had, they put me on a very high dose to begin with. They didn't start me at a minimal dose and work my way up. They just started me at a high dose, changed my voice right away. And something that most of my family friends don't know is, like, I used to have a beautiful singing voice. I was a musical theater major and honestly wanted to make a career on Broadway. I can't sing anymore. My voice is completely gone. I cannot carry a tune in a bucket. And so that part of me, that identity, is gone. And so, super sad that I have that experience because I trusted the doctors. And had I known some of those side effects to look for, some of the questions to ask the expert, right? I might have made a different decision. Am I happy that I went on testosterone and hormone replacement? Absolutely. I feel fantastic. I've made more progress in the gym, as you could imagine. But, some of those lifestyle things, like, I could have probably addressed without making the decision to go on TRT the rest of my life. So get a second opinion, educate yourself before making that big jump into something like hormone replacement. If you need it, you need it. And you feel wonderful and those symptoms that you have may go away. But just definitely educate yourself and make sure that you are working with a reputable clinic who has your best interest in mind.
That's such a good message. I really thank you for opening up and sharing that with us because I do think sometimes people only talk about the positive things or on the other end of the spectrum only bash it and say like, no, nobody should go on this unless, it's really, really needed. But yeah, fast forwarding from that clinic, so tell us what you're on now, if you don't mind sharing, and if you have a specific provider or even how you go about assessing and adjusting your own dosages if you need it.
Yeah, I do not do my own dosages. Definitely not. It's not something to mess with at all. I definitely am under the care of an online clinic. There are so many out there that are wonderful clinics. And so just definitely do your research in making sure that the online clinic has your best interests at heart. So now I'm just on testosterone replacement therapy. That's all I started with prior. My progesterone and estrogen were fine. I did not need that. Plus, with being on birth control, estrogen is suppressed anyway. And so you don't want to really substitute estrogen if you're on birth control to suppress it. So anyway, so I don't do that either. But I do take peptides, which are just wonderful. I've had a lot of really great results using multiple different peptides. I'm In the competition world, you know, a lot of people can get intimidated, especially going into an untested federation now with NPC, because I'm on hormone replacement therapy, I'm no longer able to compete naturally. So going into NPC and the untested federations, you know, now I can dabble a little bit in peptides, which are much more safe than other types of, you know, anabolic steroids and things. And so peptides also have wonderful, you know, other use cases like inflammation, to reduce inflammation, to, gosh, help you get tan, help with sleep, help with cognition, and you know, different nootropics, and help keep you lean in your off season. So there's a lot of different ways that you can utilize peptides. Unfortunately, those are banned in the natural federations, but you can use them, you know, if you compete, not in the natural sense. So.
Awesome. Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I'm curious with your own clients, because you mentioned several of them are in the menopause transition or experiencing hormonal disturbances. What are some of the more like lifestyle practices or even food quality related practices that anyone listening who might have struggles throughout the menopause transition, what they could be implementing or looking into?
Oh, that's a great question. So, you know, are you getting enough sleep? Are you training too hard or not enough? Are you eating the proper nutrient breakdown that your body absolutely needs? Are you keeping your stress under control? What are some different ways that you can get your stress under control? Is it, you know, breathing exercises? Is it reading a book? Is it taking a walk outside for 30 minutes in the sunshine? Is it, you know, if you feel that stress and anxiety coming on, you know, can you take a break and, you know, go for a little walk or just pause and take some deep breaths? There's apps on your phone that allow you to calm. I think Calm is one of them. You can do the breathing techniques. There's Wim Hof breathing. There's cold plunge therapy. Lisa, you can talk about that. I'm not brave enough to do that. But you are, and you've mastered that. What have you felt when with your cold plunge therapy? Like, how has that helped with your stress levels?
Yeah, in terms of stress levels, I'll be honest, I don't know if it's effect having a positive or even negative effect, and even recovery-wise, because that's what I'm actually asked more often if people are saying, "Oh, do you feel it's affecting your recovery, you know, or hypertrophy negatively or recovery positively?" And I'll be honest, I haven't noticed any effects on either one of those. For me, it's
Wow.
really, really a mental thing, because just like you, Renee, I love going to the gym. That's not for me, resting is the harder part, or like even, you know, being dialed in with my food is not a difficult thing for me. So I was like, what's something kind of like on the growth mindset point, what's something that I could embrace and trial this year that I really actually don't want to do, or that I really would have a hard time doing. And that's been on my mind for quite some time. And there's a cold plunge place here within 5 minutes of walking, and Santa Cruz or Bolivia here is it's very warm here. So I was like, I don't have the excuse anymore that it's cold out. I don't have the excuse that it's far away. So I literally have no excuse. I'm gonna have to try that. And it's been such a interesting journey, really more from a mindset perspective, because even now, like, I don't know, 3, 4 months into it, the couple of hours beforehand, I almost start developing something like a little bit of anxiety. I'm like going through the various excuses as to why I shouldn't go. And yet today you still have more work to do, Lisa. Maybe you can go tomorrow instead. Like literally every time I have this conversation with myself. But the good thing is I need to book in for it. And so I make an appointment. And so that whole like just canceling is something that keeps me from not going on those days. And then the hardest part is honestly the first minute, because I like they have a 10-minute maximum, and I've been able to do 10 minutes for a while now. And so the first minute is always where that whole conversation continues, where one side of me is telling me, "Get out, this is so bad for you." But I try to overcome it by just like telling myself, "This is good for you, this is good for you, this is good for you. It has to hurt, otherwise you wouldn't, you know, progress through it." And yeah, that's really the main benefit I see from it, to be entirely honest.
Yeah, well, and imagine how that's snowballing for the rest of your day, the rest of your life. Being able to overcome that mental challenge. If you can do that, and you can susceptibilize yourself to that torture, then you can do anything.
Well, precisely. I think it works, building that kind of delaying gratification or doing hard things. That is like a muscle. If you practice it in one area, you can transfer it over to other areas. And I think that's a great thing with the clients that we work with as well, when they build on those little wins, even if it is, did you go for your walk today? Or did you do a 3-minute meditation or whatever? Like, it doesn't need to be anything groundbreaking, and it doesn't need to be 20 things at once. But if they do these little things consistently, they build on that muscle and they prove to themselves over and over that they can do it again. They can go to the gym even on days where it's snowing or really cold outside or whatever. So yeah, I think really you are a picture of consistency as well throughout all of this, which I think is so amazing, witnessing your journey on social media. And you've actually brought out some cookbooks as well, which I'm absolutely going to link in the show notes, because I want people to have some handy recipes and a wonderful high protein recipe book and so on. But when we spoke last, you actually mentioned that most of the time you personally eat reasonably boring meals. And I think that's awesome. I think people need to hear that, because I don't know about you, but I'm quite often asked, like, oh, I'm bored of my meals. Do you have a recipe for this and that? Or, and I try to encourage people to like embrace a bit of the boredom in their, in most, not in all their meals. Like, I don't get me wrong, I'm the last person to say that food needs to be super bland, but like, it doesn't need, you don't need to give in to each craving or even think like, oh, should I have the lasagna or should I have this extraordinary sushi or whatever. No, like sometimes or most of the time, food can be delicious but should also just be nutritious and simple. Three ingredients or whatever, and that's good enough. So yeah, I thought that was super cool that you shared that. And I don't know, do you ever get bored of your meals, or are you super happy just eating most of the same things most of the time also?
Well, I have to say that after those words came out of my mouth, I'm like, oh, crap.
I thought that was
Probably
awesome. No,
shouldn't.
honestly, I think more people need to hear that, because I believe, I honestly, not just believe, but I know that there are studies out there that show that many people that maintain a lean physique, they eat the same meals most of the time. Like, I
Yeah.
think that's a really good hack, actually, to think
Yeah.
of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just me being lazy, but I do love a good meal with all of the, all the ingredients and flavors. But honestly, like I'm just busy. And as most people are, having the option in those cookbooks and having the macros all planned out, I mean, it's very easy and easy to calculate for yourself. And if you absolutely love to cook and have lots of ingredients in your house, awesome. Like, yes, please buy my cookbook. But otherwise, you're right. I mean, I just kind of eat like a bro. I do not get tired of it actually, because I've trained myself to think of food as fuel. Food is there to provide me with the nutrients, micro and macronutrients that I need in order to thrive in my life. And that was probably the biggest non-scale victory for me when I started my bodybuilding journey. I don't even know, back when I was a lifestyle client, where I made that, and literally I woke up one day and it changed. Like, it was like a light switch went from food is entertainment, food is pleasure, to I woke up that morning and food is fuel. And I think that I remember that day actually, because I woke up and I was in my kitchen and I was thinking, okay, and I was on the zone diet at the time. Do you remember? Have
Oh
you
yeah,
heard? The
goodness. I
zone.
was on
Okay.
that too for a while through CrossFit. Somehow I
It's
found
a CrossFit thing. Yeah.
that.
And I've had several coaches. One of my coaches, he was a CrossFitter. And so he taught me the zone. And so I was there. Yes, I had like started meal prepping and things, but I was looking at my stuff that I, at my, what do they call them? Points, not points,
I don't
something.
even remember. Yeah.
I had 11. I just remember the number 11. And so I had 11 that I had to hit or something. And I was like, all right, what can I eat to put, can I put together to hit these numbers that I have to hit? And so like for breakfast, I had like cheese and almonds and like something like not a standard American breakfast of, eggs and toast and all those things. And so that day, I remember texting my coach and saying, oh my gosh, like, I think I just hit a milestone here. Like, I just realized food is fuel. And I am putting together my food so that it fuels my body in the way that I know it needs to. And so from that day on, it has been so easy for me to just keep it simple. Keep, what kind of protein do I need for the day? What kind of carbs do I need? Do I need a little bit of carbs or a lot of bit of carbs, as if I am right now? What kind of fat am I going to need? Is it the right kind of fat? Is it, extra virgin olive oil, or is it macadamia nuts or something, or is it, saturated fats from the beef? Or so, like, once you kind of realize the different nutrients that your body needs, it's really interesting to keep it simple to, and you honestly, you get to taste the flavor of the real food. You're not covering it up with all of the spices and chemicals and the processed stuff that happens when you eat processed or packaged food. And so you get to enjoy the way that God made it. What does a strawberry actually taste like? It's delicious. You don't need to dip it in sugar like I did for my entire life. It's so good on its own that you get to really enjoy, and you don't take for granted what real food actually tastes like. And your taste buds do change over time. If you start to make those daily habit changes, they start to change, and you realize that you crave actual organic food, not organic in the sense of like no chemicals, but I'm saying like, or pesticides, you know what I mean? But like actual food versus what comes out of a box.
That resonates so much with me. I'll tell you, one of my favorite foods in the world is like a plain baked potato with salt, with sea salt on it. Literally, for me, it tastes so good. And if someone like 20 years ago would have told me that, I would have been like, give me fries or mashed potatoes with a bunch of butter and whatever. But like by now, I'm so used to like just appreciating the food in its natural state. And like most of the time, sea salt, a little bit of pepper, every now and then sriracha sauce or mustard or soy sauce or something like that to add a bit of different flavor. Yeah, that does the trick for me. And I do think there is, because I didn't want to discredit your cookbooks by any means, I think that cookbooks are amazing. And I used to bring out recipe packs every month as well for our clients. And I think they can be number one great for people that are literally starting from ground up, where they're like, I honestly have just been following the standard American diet for so and so long. Like, I don't know what else to eat other than cereal or toast for breakfast. Do you have suggestions? And then
Yes.
making something that is in your cookbook their new staple, that is a great starting place. Or the other places, if we're saying, okay, for family meals, I want to have something for my family. I want to explore. They don't want to eat the same thing every single day. So maybe I can just have my staple meals for breakfast, lunch, and snacks. And then dinner, we're going to have more of a rotation so that my family doesn't get bored of it, for example. Or on the weekends, if you have more time and you want to cook something more elaborate and you have guests over, so they might not be so happy with rice, chicken, and broccoli as we are, but yeah,
Why not?
exactly. So yeah, I think for that purpose, those cookbooks are really a great inspiration.
Yeah. And I do have a lot of lifestyle clients who come to me and they do have children. And they're like, one of their reasons why they hire me is because they're saying, I want to learn these better lifestyle habits so I can be a better influence for them and teach them. And so that's one of the things I talk about to say, my gosh, you don't have, they're kids. Like, teach them now. Teach them
Yes.
now how to put together those nice, wholesome, natural foods and get them to enjoy it now so that when they're 25, 35 years old, they're not having the same conversation. So they've been exposed to that now.
And I think especially like little kids, if we're talking below or less than 10 years or so, they're often actually quite excited to get into the cooking pro involved into the cooking process. They're like, oh, you're letting me help. You're letting me help chop this. And mom, what are you adding here? Or why are you doing that? And then they might also understand why perhaps you're using a food scale and you're like, well, I want to make sure I'm eating enough because I want to get nice and strong. So if you explain it in that manner, it sounds very different than if you say, oh, I need to weigh out my food because I'm on a diet. That has a very
Yes.
different connotation. So it's a lot about like how we communicate things. I think that's that's really important for people to learn, because I have also had someone say, or several people say, like, I feel weird weighing out my food in front of my daughter. I don't want her to feel like I'm restricting myself or so. But if you explain it in a different way, I want to make sure I'm getting enough protein. I want to make sure I'm getting my vegetables in and so on. And they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Thanks, Mom. Yeah, no.
Yeah. My daughter, when I started my journey, she was little at the time. She's almost 17 now, so she's 16. And, I was really careful about, especially going through prep a couple of times, I was really careful about how do I talk about myself in front of her to think like there's, value in being this lean, right? So you have to be really careful, especially with the age of social media and all of the influencers that are out there now. But what's really cool is that maybe I should ask her. I think I did a pretty good job because, she, is at that age where she's like, okay, Mom, I just, she's going to the gym a lot. She has this little twinkle where she wants to compete someday, which I love. She's got a cute little physique too. And she is wanting to make sure she's eating enough. Mom, am I eating enough? Or, oh, I lost a couple pounds. I need to eat some more this week to kind of make up for it. She's super active. And so, but anyway, I think that's really important that we teach them young so that they have that healthy mindset and don't get wrapped up into the facade of all the social media influencers out there.
Very, very good point. Well, Renee, thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom with us. I honestly think you're doing such a great job educating your clients, and today I'm encouraging other people to educate themselves in whatever way they can. So truly, thank you so much. I'm gonna link your social media, your cookbook, and everything in the show notes so people can go and follow you. And I just truly want to say thank you for your time.
Thank you, Lisa. I had a great time.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Renee. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.